director, and then there's Tracy is the third. So that's the overall majority of the five, plus of the ones that are present, the workforce and private sector majority.
Okay. So let's introduce everybody. Let's just start at the table, and then we'll kind of go catch the folks that are hiding in the back. Because all these filled chairs, I know, were kind of making it uncomfortable.
Hannah Gregory, Bluegrass Ave.
Stacy May,
Bluegrass Ave.
Tiffany Reeves,
Bluegrass
Ave.
Tracy Pratt Savage, Economic Development, Nicholas County.
Mabel Duke, Bluegrass Ave.
Matt Montgomery, SAP.
David Boggs, OWL.
Todd Blanton, Rescue Workforce Services.
Tammy Underwood, Rescue Workforce Services.
Allie Dickinson, with Workforce in the City of Lexington.
Yeah. Ethan Lovell, Bluegrass Ave.
Amy Glasscock, Bluegrass Ave.
Michael Bushman, Bluegrass Ave.
Great. Talking to Mabel a little bit, we don't have minutes to approve. The board approved last time's minutes, for whatever lack of things that those are called. But I think moving forward, we were just talking about the executive board will approve the executive board minutes, the regular board will approve regular minutes, but we don't have anything to do for that today. Under action items, budget review, let's...
Michael's going to handle that.
We should have both July and August in our packet. This is a cumulative report, so I will go ahead and just review August. We changed monthly reports to match the restructuring of the budget. We broke down individual program sheets by admin, adult, dislocated worker, and youth, as well as including a full budget review sheet at the front of each month. And then basically, this review sheet just combines all the program costs. We get a nice overview. So if you look at the budget overview sheet labeled Bluegrass Ad FY18 budget, you will see the board-approved budget broken down by admin, adult, dislocated worker, and youth. The column to the right of youth labeled budget combines all of these columns. So that's the summary. The next column, year-to-date August, combines all expenses from the different programs for the fiscal year. And the balance column is the difference between the budget and the year-to-date columns. Again, hopefully this sheet provide a nice overview so you can see total budget and expenses compared. So through August, our total operating costs, which are costs of the ad staff, were $116,000, or about 11% expended compared to our budget. Program delivery costs and one-stop operator costs, which are both res care costs, were 2 and 3% respectively through August. We expect this to pick up greatly. You know, the July invoice was very small. First invoice, and then we also have not included our August invoice in these expenses yet. That's a big, big chunk there.
Okay, but you're 11% year on year, and this is 1 month?
This is through August. This is 2 months.
2 months,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for the once off. Yeah.
Good.
Or the
good. Otherwise, we're going to be at 132% at that rate. So awesome. Okay.
Yes. So, again, yeah, we expect this to pick up greatly. So total costs at the end of the year, or through August, I'm sorry, were $194,000, or about 3%. And again, we expect this to pick up greatly in the next couple months. So the sheet behind that, first one should be admin.
But you're out looking to be under budget or on budget by the end of the year?
Is yes. That, okay. Yeah, again, the July invoice is very small. You know, we're just starting off, and we're really working together with different systems, so it wasn't... That wasn't normal, the July invoice. The August invoice was much larger, and that has not been included yet in these costs. We have not sent that on to the state and got reimbursed for it. It has not been included.
Okay.
So yeah, that will be you'll see a bigger jump next couple months.
The thing I'm looking for is outlook. So if we're out looking to be under or on, I'm good. If
correct.
We're looking to be over, I'd like to know if we're trending
right
that way.
There was a budget amendment, which modification that I was going to hit on later with youth, but I believe that's been sent on to be approved and signed, mainly to include the trade funding, but also just move different line items around, because we did have in youth where we had training, we didn't budget for training yet, so that has been included now in the new modification to include that. So,
okay.
Yes.
And all the trade is simply a pass-through.
Yes, yeah, trade is strictly pass-through. So yeah, the first sheet after is administrative costs. Our total is about 11%. So that's not more in line of what it should be. And the rest will be a little shorter. Again, those are mostly directly program costs. So our adult behind the administrative, we're about 4% expended compared to our budget. Dislocated worker, same, 3%. And youth was 2%. And again, youth, if you see that one particular line item, we have training. For August, we had $12,955 for expended for training. Again, we did not budget originally for that, and I believe that's been amended to include that, so that should be... the line item has been moved around. It's not like we added more funding for that, so it should be covered now. So.
Okay. But this has already been approved. Is there an action we need to take on this?
We typically make a motion to approve this at each meeting, so it is that way it's recognized that we have looked at it.
Okay.
All right. That way it's in the minutes that we did see it. All right. So I'll make a motion we approve this.
I will second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Yeah. Yeah. These votes are going to be quick today.
Thank you, Matt.
Okay. Next topic then is the election process. So I sent out a note just to try to get us moving on that, hoping for responses by yesterday so we could get through this process. As we look to the nomination process, so Stacey put together a great website that kind of described who everybody was, what they were doing, you know, what roles they were eligible for, trying to go through all that kind of exercise. And if anybody has questions, I can go into sort of what the bylaws state about those. But in looking at that, we got some responses. We've got a number of people that were nominated. We got a number of people that said that they were not going to be interested. We got a number of people that said that they would. So right now, we've not heard responses from a couple of people. And I guess we need to figure out what we want to do. Do we want to go push on the couple of people that were nominated that hadn't responded? Or do we want to move forward with the folks that we have in the list? And can I go from there? I mean, I want to be fair, but I want to move.
What do you have confirmed already, or interested in confirming?
So we've got, for vice chair, John Daugherty and Susan Kraft. Those have been interested and confirmed that they would accept the nomination. We had probably about four or five people that say thanks but no thanks in terms of being nominated for vice chair. For treasurer, Daniel King is nominated and confirmed. We had a couple other people, Ken Trosky, Kim Minky, who have not responded but were nominated, but that we don't know yet if they would accept the nomination or anything else. And then for treasurer, I believe it's Dolly Holland and Susan Kraft. Or I'm sorry, for secretary.
I was going to say you flipped that.
Oh, yeah. Daniel for treasurer, Dolly and Susan for secretary have been confirmed. And there were probably 10 or so other people that out of that list that said thanks but no thanks, I think, in that list. We've not heard from Steve Sigg, I think, in a couple instances too, right? So for vice chair and...
Yeah. I gave it to
him. Oh, sorry, I stole it. Yeah, so here it is. So Susan Kraft, John Daugherty for vice chair. We've not heard from Steve Sigg. Treasurer, Daniel. We've not heard from Kim or Susan. Secretary, Susan and Dolly. We've not heard from Steve Sigg, Ken Trosky, or Kim Minky.
We had a deadline suggested.
We did. I put it in the email for October 9th.
And let's go with it. If we've got active people who are responding on time, those are the people that I think would be great to move ahead with.
I will be perfectly honest. I know that things come up, but, you know, like, we need to get quorum. We need to make decisions. We need to move forward. And if people are very interested and they can confirm.
And we've got enough. This is wonderful.
Right. I'm with you. Now, you know, that does mean that in our full board meeting in November, we will have an election for vice chair and secretary. We'll just Daniel will be confirmed, I guess is the right word, right?
Unopposed?
As I was, I guess, for vice chair. But we'll go through that. Now, the other thing that we want to do is we'll set that up for the right moment in the meeting, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that. If we do it first, the way that Robert's Rules of Orders works, because I've read the rest of our bylaws and we don't call out how to do it, is that somebody is considered to have served a full term if they've served half of their term or greater. So they've still served full term. So as soon as the election happens, those people assume that they are full in that position. I hate to say assume the position, but it sounds very police craft, right? You know, like,
sounds very relevant.
But is that something we want to go through first? Now, if Kim was here, if John was here, and we were naturally leading into things in the meeting that they were going to go do, I'd say let's hold that to the end so it's not uncomfortable. I would suggest almost that we do it for continuity, that we do it more towards the beginning of the meeting, because we will have things coming from this meeting that will lead into that, and it'll be more natural. But I to be honest, it doesn't matter tremendously to me. I don't know what you guys think. Before you say that, the other thing to think about is how we're going to do the election, right? So we have to be anonymous about it.
Okay.
We don't about Daniel, I guess, although but for the others, we do need to be anonymous. That's in our bylaws, so we can do it electronically with the full board in advance of the meeting, or I believe we can do it with a paper ballot at the meeting. My preference is to do it at the meeting. It's more work, so Mabel may frown on that.
She's going to have to count pieces of paper.
Yeah, but I know Mabel. I know she can count to 19, which would be the max, right? I know. We will borrow fingers and toes if necessary. Just to have the board members that are there be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it may get stretched out too long, and it's not as visible.
Again,
those
who show up and are active and involved, I like the idea that they're there and they have that vote. So I would.
Yeah.
So that's my question, right?
I would agree with you that
only those that are there can vote.
Yeah, if you want to show up and be part.
Traditionally, we said that for everything.
Yeah,
so you can't vote by proxy, and you have to be present to vote. But so I think that's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But we could go dig into open records laws or other things as they go. But I think that's what we have to do.
And to your point, I don't think it really matters if it's the beginning or the end. There's nothing hanging, so if it makes most sense to do it at the beginning, I don't think there's a problem with either.
My preference is not in the middle. Because that's just odd. Like, okay, having somebody get up out of their chair and move into a different position is just, it's unnecessarily uncomfortable. But we could, in the interest of going out to count the votes, we could stagger it, through the agenda so that we'll do, secretary and treasurer. There isn't anything that they have to do. We can do vice chair at the end if we want to do that. But again, I don't know. I don't know what your all's thoughts are.
I don't have strong feelings anyway about it, so I'm up for whatever.
Yeah.
I know you're shy, so I want to be careful. Should we get your input?
I see you looking over here, Evie. Yeah, what opinions are. So, first of all, I remember when we had our elections, Tracy, you were there before, we did do it by silent. Everybody was nominated on, we did it, and it worked out fine. It didn't take that long. Everybody was prepared. So, I think we need to do it at our meeting. The one question that I have is, when do the terms of office start? When we hold the elections immediately? Is that when it was? I couldn't remember if it was that. For some reason, and I'm sure I'm wrong, I was under the impression that they didn't start till January 1 because of starting the new year out with new officers, but I wasn't sure how that was. That was the only question I had.
Yeah, we don't call it out in the bylaws, and that's something I think
reading here. It wasn't.
Well, and I wonder if we should even consider when we talk about that time frame, should we tie the 2-year term of the office to our budget cycle, not our calendar year. Does that make more sense? I don't know.
Yeah, we'd have to alter the bylaws in order to be able to do that.
Right. I agree. Because we don't call it out in the bylaws, I believe we fall to Robert's Rules of Order, and in that case, it's at the end of the election.
I personally feel like it might be better to do it at the end of our meeting. My thoughts behind that is that, number one, that would be a good time to do it, and then, two, if you're getting elected right at the beginning of a meeting and you aren't prepared for that meeting, then you're caught off guard. Like, obviously, I'm not going to be the treasurer anymore, so I would hate to be elected as the treasurer of the meeting and then immediately be responsible for saying, yes, I support this budget.
Well, it would be like Daniel's first meeting.
Right. Exactly. And so by doing it at the end of the meeting, and they can take office at the end of that meeting, but at least if their official action and sitting in that chair is at the following meeting, then it does give them the opportunity to get with the old chair, if that's doable, yeah, or the old person that was in that former person in that position,
right,
and
or
say,
with staff,
can you help and meet with staff and stuff like that. So my recommendation would be do it, you know, toward the end of the meeting, and then that be on the agenda for that,
okay,
in that manner.
So if I can summarize that, because I agree. I think if the only caveat I want to put to that is I want to make it so that if we are at risk of not having quorum, like people need to leave, then we would pull it forward in the agenda to make sure that we have the election.
Yeah, we have to do that. That's
right. But otherwise, I agree. I mean, I'm fine with it being at the end. So if I summarize, I think what we're saying is we're going to present to the board Susan Kraft and John Daugherty as vice chair nominations, Daniel King as treasurer running unopposed, Susan Kraft and Dolly Holland as secretary. And we'll need to vote in that order, because if Susan gets vice chair, you know, Dolly, we won't need to have the election for, well, the other two, right? So if we look at that, right?
Yeah.
And so going with that, we'll put that at the end of the election, or the election at the end of the agenda, so that it's not uncomfortable for anybody.
I would like to ask, therefore, for a 5-minute warning from anybody who has to leave, so they don't just get up. You know, start at the beginning of the meeting. Who has a dead stop? Exactly what is that time? And we will be voting 5 minutes before that, or at the end of the meeting if no one has, if we're losing quorum.
Sure. And I agree. And I think that if we do that, maybe the electronic options backup if that doesn't work, but I think that we absolutely have to do that. And there shouldn't be any reason. Mm-hmm. I have yet to be at a meeting where somebody ran, you know, hair on fire out of the room. So if we can have a little notice. Yeah. Okay.
Do we need a motion to
that? I think we do.
I would therefore make the motion that we hold the elections by paper at the end of the meeting, as David suggested.
Include these names in part of your motion.
Yeah.
Including Vice Chair John Daugherty, Susan Kraft, Secretary Dolly Holland, is it Holland?
And Holland.
Susan Kraft and Treasurer Daniel King unopposed.
Okay. Is there a second?
Is that me? I second.
My options are limited. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Bylaws. So, new bylaws are out there. I mean, they've been out there for, you know, a couple of months. I think from my perspective, the big things that have adjusted are, you know, some things around what is this board, this executive board versus the general, what was there in the past. So we shrunk a little bit. It's the officers plus standing committee chairs. But going through the rest of it, you had put a side-by-side compare. There was some cleanup language in the old bylaws that actually said that the board officers shall serve 1 year, and the next sentence it said 2 years or something like that. I mean, there was some cleanup of that just to kind of make that clear. And then, you know, just more in line with the laws. I don't think this is something that we talked about in the last full board meeting. It's not something we vote on. It's just making us aware of what's going on.
That's right.
But to your point, thank you for helping get things cleaned up. And
yes.
For staff.
Not sure where to point, but yes. Thank you as it goes. That
much cleaner now.
Okay. Do we need a motion for that?
No.
Okay.
That's everything from here on down is just an informational item.
Right. Okay. Any other discussion on that one? Okay. Open WIB position update.
Well, we recently added two members that were invited today, just if they wanted to meet the executive committee, but their first full board meeting will be at the November meeting. We have Hank Forker, who is with UPS, that will be joining us. And we have Daniel King, who is, and I don't know his firm, he's the auditor. He's your new treasurer. Who is he with? Do you know, Matt, off the top of your head?
It's a bunch of names that I'm sure are very important to them.
It actually was quite impressive sounding.
But he was nominated by the Society of Financial Professionals, and Mayor Gray signed off.
I actually believe he's done some work.
He's internal audit with the LFUCG.
So they will be starting in November. With those two positions being filled, the only two remaining positions are both with the labor representatives. We have had one person indicate interest, but he's Tim Wireman, who is with he's a three-state representative of the Millwrights and Carpenters Union. But I have not seen a nomination or anything from him yet. But anyway, there are two vacant labor positions, and those folks are fairly hard to find. Yeah. So
they have to be labor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I contacted somebody the other day about this. You know, I contacted somebody that I knew that works with union people, but they didn't have anybody to recommend. So I was just wanting to confirm that
right.
They'd be labor.
And
so Millwright would obviously be a good fit, mm-hmm. right?
Construction. Yes.
And what other things should we be looking for, thinking about?
Well, you know, we have our sectors, and our folks are supposed to, right. to the extent possible, represent them.
We just need somebody from that sector. Period. Be here.
Yeah, and that's...
Could it be a big construction firm, someone with that, or...
But it's more that, like, the electricians union or the plumbers
right.
union is my understanding. And we definitely want people that are going to be able to influence and help us from the aspect of, like, on-the-job training or other,
right.
other components of that. But, yeah, that's so far out of my space. I don't know.
So I'm just trying, because I can...
How about I can pull you, and I will email out to you the exact wording from the law on... what the labor representative encompasses.
If we could share that with everybody.
I will send that out as soon as this meeting is over.
Right. Maybe that's something that we work on. I don't know if it's a committee action or if it's the full board, but we should work on some sort of, you know, recruitment campaign
right.
of some kind. Maybe
right.
we put that on the agenda for the board.
Because here we are electing our new leaders and
yeah.
we're making known
right.
we're missing two key players. And here's how it's defined, and let's all go out and see what we can do to network and get
yeah.
some good candidates.
Yeah.
I will
okay.
get that out immediately
okay.
after this meeting. And we do have to have two. The law requires
yeah.
two representatives from labor.
And I think when we look at the rest of this, we have a few people that either renew or expire in October, but nothing that we need to absolutely act on in our January, February meeting.
And in as far as regular board membership, they are allowed, if interested, to serve a consecutive term. So not necessarily everyone, or at least hopefully,
right.
not everyone that is whose term is up in October will want to leave.
Do they need to be renominated? Or
they do. We
okay.
have to go through the entire process again.
And you did that recently for, I think...
Some folks. When we did the WIB recertification, we did have
okay.
to do that for some people.
Okay.
I mean, if you... I'll get the information out, but if you want to also ask for volunteers for a committee, we can do that at the same time, if that's what you are, or if you prefer to wait until the November meeting, just let me know.
I don't know if there's a committee that this would naturally fall under, but we may want to ask for just as, you know, a committee to do that next time.
Well, I'm really not liking the word committee. Maybe it's a task force.
Task force. That's
work group, yeah. Whatever.
Not standing. Just, yeah, not, you know, just somebody that can quickly, let's get a few people together. And if nothing else, if we want to talk about what a communication package we need to include, you guys draft something up, we'll sign off on it and get it sent out. It doesn't have to be something super formal, but let's
right.
But let's figure out, if we can figure out the contacts of these different parties.
I have actually been working on... volunteer descriptions for positions. So that's something that we can get out to you and let you guys kind of take a look at and kind of provide your input on. And amongst the description is recruitment of, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of spread the word of what the BGWIF does and how to become a member and things like that. So that's listed among them. And the other option is to, because it's brought up a lot by a lot of different WIBs, to have sort of a task force for recruitment and the process and that you need. So.
No, okay. That'd be great. Yeah. Because I wrote just my own summary. I stole, I think, all of your words from the website. Because I've been talking a little bit with just getting a farm team available from Lexmark, from Temper Sealy, you know, from EKU, some other people, just in case.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that'd be your words are. I was a math major. I don't write well, so.
Well, it's a good balance then, because I can
yeah.
do math. So.
Yeah, there we go. Awesome.
But, I'll get the descriptions out to you, too, and we can kind of play with those, and that would be something to kind of help. I think it would probably help the members themselves get a better understanding, especially the new ones coming on, what's expected of a board member and kind of what you're
yeah.
representing and
beautiful.
Stuff like that. We'll get that out, and...
Used to
help recruit too, because
yeah, most people don't like signing up for things that they
don't
Care. I've been with ResCare about 4 years. I came from North Carolina, so I am brand new to the Bluegrass and currently a Lexington resident. Also. But ResCare, for those of you who you may know some of this, you may not, we're the nation's largest human services company, 49 years in business, 28 states, 400 locations, kind of goes up and down just a little bit as you know how things. Kind of ebb and flow. We have centers open, we have centers closed and combined. We have nearly 4,000 workforce professionals across the company and across the nation. We work with our community partners. We've been in discussion this morning, and Todd and I were in some discussion yesterday about how do we bring the partners to the table and make sure that we all understand what everyone else does and how we can work together to serve the community. We have one-stop operator expertise, and the bottom line is we put people to work. This kind of shows you our geographic presence across the country in all of our different lines of business. We've got operations even in Alaska, child care operations in Hawaii, Job Corps in Puerto Rico. So as you can see, we are making a difference all over the place. Okay. Our common purpose is to impact communities for the better, creating optimal environments for people in need of assistance through attentive and quality service principles so that they can live their best life. And this shows you our quality standards. We have a brand new CEO for the company. He came last October-ish, I believe. And he has instilled in us the legacy principles. You know, where what legacy will you leave when you are gone? So L is for leadership, being a servant leader. E is for your environment. We want a people-focused environment. G is get going, know your business. A is for attitude, seeing the possibilities. We like to also say no jerks are allowed. C is for communication, everyone in the know, and you be the example to everyone else. So this is our leadership team. I'm Tammy, you know Todd, he's our one-stop operator. Jennifer Hayes is our operations manager. She is training and guiding and answering questions for the staff in the field. We have 5 talent development specialists. That means case manager. We have 2 talent engagement specialists. They're both in the Lexington Career Center. They are the ones that are going to initially meet with people when they come in the door and assess where they need to go. Do they need some brushing up of job skills, or are they job ready? And they make that quick assessment as to how to better serve them next. We have 3 business services consultants that are spread across our region. So our goals are to support your goals, really. Your strategic goals, your initiatives, continue the performance that's been ongoing here, deliver qualified talent to the market. You know, how do we connect those people that we're already working with the jobs that the business services consultants and the employers that they have met with? How do we make those connections? We're focusing on employer expectations, and we want to make sure that we're giving them what they need. We're not just making a referral for a referral's sake, because that doesn't do anyone any good. We have to make sure that it's a good fit for both sides, a good match. And so we're trying to streamline processes for the partners, for the customers, and just enhance everything that we do. So our transition, we've been here since July the 3rd, and we have been busy trying to create policies or procedures and fill positions. We have all of our positions filled. I've done some training. I've got some background with the company in that. I've brought in trainers from our training team who have done some case management training. Our partner staff with OET also participated in that. We have actually going on last week and this week a remote training via webcam. We use Zoom for those things. Our trainer is in Florida, and she is doing small groups of all of the staff, teaching them tools. Career Pathways Explorer, you may have seen before, you may not. It's a quick assessment of personality and how your personality traits and things that you're interested in can connect to a career pathway and making a good connection there. We're using, they're also learning our Resume Pro tool and some other things, intranet kind of things. So she's able to work with them in small groups so she can interact with them. She can see what they're doing on their screen if they're having a hard time and help them get where they need to go. So we do a lot of those kinds of things. We have our customer experience training coming up in October the 19th and the 26th. It is something that in my previous role, I traveled the country and taught, and it was something that I enjoyed very much. It was created in partnership with the Disney Institute, and it's all about elevating the customer experience. When we work with the public, we know that customer service is an expectation, right? So now we want to elevate that. We want people to leave with an experience that they're not going to forget. Okay. So our initial outreach, Todd has been working to connect with our local elected officials, our partners, and our business community, along with the job seekers. So we're trying to get out there, let everybody know we're here. These are the kinds of things that we offer, and to create those connections with our partners. So far, we've served 5,903 people since July the 1st. And I will tell you that that is a fuzzy number. I heard you say that this morning. It is a little bit fuzzy because it took us a week or two to really get our tools into place to be able to track that and get everybody on board to make sure that we were doing that. So all of that is to say that number is likely a little higher than that. We've got 162 customers in training right now. We've made over 100 new employer contacts with our business services team out in the field. They've approved over 200 job orders, and we've had more than 50 customers employed. So enrollments, we've got 68 enrollments. I believe that this was as of the end of September. I think we have 70 now. We've got 239 customers that are in follow-up. We've completed 25 OJTs. So we're still pulling all of that data together, but this is a snapshot of what we've got and where we are so far. So looking ahead, we're looking at customer flow. What happens when people walk through the door? What is the first step? What is the second step? If they're job ready, who do they go to? If they're not job ready, what do they need and who do they go to?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Just back to the OJTs.
Yes.
I know they were being approved in each one by the chair previously. Is that still the policy?
That is what's being done right now.
Okay. That was a new...
There's a part that says that the fiscal agent must sign any financial contract as well. So we'll have to add that signature that it'll take. That'll be on the agenda for the... We have to change the policy.
That was not the policy previously of having them individually approved.
No, it was not.
So that policy could be changed going forward, changed back, changed completely, or kept.
Right.
That's something that we may want to look at for the board, unless you want to personally approve everything, because we just didn't before. But.
No one does. No local area does that. I've yet to encounter one.
So something that we should make note of and probably change, I believe it would slow down. I would imagine it would slow down the process a bit.
Yes.
Number, and then that makes the poor person who wants to get their program going sit and wait, which I would think would upset them. So the idea of making sure that we exceed expectations and, you know, the more employers we can get to use this program. It was amazing sitting down with an employer and they thought it was too good to be true. It's like, so we finally convinced them to move ahead, but then if you bog down in paperwork, then they can second think it. And so anyway. Okay.
It's a very proud program. Why wouldn't you use it, right? Mm-hmm.
It's just getting them to understand it and that
right.
It's not too good.
Exactly. Okay. So right now, like I said, we're looking at the customer flow, and you know, we all understand that that's going to look a little bit differently in every career center. It's going to look much different in Lexington than it does in Berea or in Danville. So we want to make sure that everybody gets an assessment, whether it's Career Pathways Explorer or another assessment that we're using. We're determining whether or not they're job ready quickly. Make sure that they have a professional resume. That's where Resume Pro comes in. I realize Focus does a resume. This is a little bit more polished than that one. And then we want to make sure that we are improving job matching, as I mentioned earlier. So right now, it's about the culture. Okay, I didn't mention earlier that OET is going to participate in the customer experience training that we're going to do. But we want to make sure that everyone understands, no matter where your paycheck comes from, we're all one team. We all have one purpose. The ultimate goal is to get people back to work. And the customer just doesn't care when they walk through the door who signed your paycheck, right? So we want to make sure everybody understands that we're one team. And so the customer experience training is what I mentioned, and we want to make sure that we're celebrating successes no matter what they are. So we're looking at a comprehensive regional approach to increase the reach and the impact. serve the underserved. Todd mentioned earlier to the strategic planning committee that we're looking at access points in all of the 17 counties. We will be able to do some case management via Zoom, just like we're doing the training with my trainer in Florida. It is, I don't know if you've ever used it, it's really kind of like FaceTime. You can add more people in if you want it. We could, I know that another operation that does some workshops via Zoom, the trainer can be in one room and speaking to whomever's there, and then the outlying counties can log in because it's just as simple as a click of a button, and they're all in the same room. So some good virtual service offerings in that way. And like I said, to leverage our community partners so we're all helping one another to meet that common goal.
Now, Strategic met the committee this morning at 10. And to go along with this and how we're interfacing well with ResCare, and we've talked, I met separately after the last meeting with Kelly Cummins, who's with the Education Cabinet, too. The discussion is not only around what's happening with Medicaid, where you're going to be required to volunteer 20 hours, work 20 hours, or take 20 hours of classes, but there are really two groups we're looking at. Lexington, you can get a bus. Nicholas County, you can't. And transportation is a big, huge problem. So what we're looking at is not only visiting the judge executives, but looking at a partner, which is adult education. And Susan from the committee is in adult education, which is perfect, what they can offer. But we also had one of the regional directors with Community Action, who deals with a lot of folks who are needing services and need the better jobs and need help with soft skills, etc. So we're trying to identify different groups that we can talk to. Another that we've discussed is the Chamber of Commerce. Being the president of the chamber in our area, understanding what's going on here with the organization, Workforce Investment Board, I'm still trying to figure it out. And I've been involved for some time. So we're looking at if we can get this information to the chambers to say, we've got all this to offer and we've got jobs. Do you have people who could hire? Or are you looking for workers, and we've got workers, and we can help connect? So I guess we'll be coming back to the board after we're meeting, but it gives you an idea of some of what we're looking at and some of the opportunities that we are identifying, as well as some of the needs that maybe are not being met or ways that we can improve the communication. You know, we get all these great success stories, but if we're not getting them to a chamber that can forward it to their members, they're not seeing like, oh, I could do that. That makes sense. So we've got some nice ongoing conversations and some ideas kind of percolating. Great. That will address both with the Medicaid, but beyond to just generally what we're doing.
Great.
Questions?
Thank you, Tammy. Just a question. Are you going to be doing this presentation at a board meeting?
I don't know.
I would say she will be available to do an updated one by that time.
But helping the board members, everybody to understand, yes, I agree, would be great.
Yeah, I think so. One of the things I'd like to see, or I think everybody's going to be interested in, is, you know, you are held to certain performance metrics. So as you show how you've performed, definitely add another column there with the numbers, and because I want to see how you're doing against that performance metric. And if there's things we can do to help where things aren't as high as we'd like them to be, you know, I mean, let us know that as well. I mean, we want you to get fully paid because it means you're serving our, you know, our community. So
what we identified is they're out in the field doing things in cases. That's not being counted now. So strategic planning, not necessarily under the numbers, some of the numbers we had shared. It's being counted another way. So
I think that was a vocational rehab.
Right.
Yes.
You know, our enrollments are being counted. Certainly, if we were to meet someone at Starbucks and enroll them, yes, we would count that.
Yeah. Okay. All the WIOA enrollments are counted,
yes.
But
they're doing a lot more than some of the numbers indicated as well. Yeah.
Working with partners in the community, yes.
Yeah.
So are you on track to hit your numbers? I just don't remember the numbers off the top of my head.
We are required 300 enrollments for the year. So if we break that down monthly, it's about 25 a month. So at the end of September, we should have been at 75. We were at 68 at the end of September. So just a smidge behind.
But you're just getting started.
I mean, just getting started.
I can't imagine. You know, your first month was 25, was it?
Yeah. No, the performance, the pay for performance, I believe, for the first quarter was 120. So, you know, that's a little off. But as long as we still got that target and we're about 90%, a little slow in math, but about 90%, you know, the 69 to 75.
Okay.
But we're trying to pick that up. We also have been talking about ways to get out in the community, get the word out, now that foot traffic is starting to go down just a little bit because they've removed the unemployment insurance from the office. So we've seen a significant decline in foot traffic. So we're looking for ways to just get out in the community and bring people in or meet them where they are.
During the performance negotiations, we did set quarterly goals, but there was an agreement included in there that if you miss your goal for one quarter, you do you can make it up by the end of the year.
Okay. What are your biggest, is it foot traffic and awareness are your biggest barriers right now?
I think so.
I mean, as I was telling the strategic planning committee this morning, you know, the outlying offices that would be here, Berea, Danville, Georgetown. Danville and Georgetown, when OET pulled their presence in February from those offices, a lot of the perception was that there was no longer anybody located there at all. So the foot traffic there has went down some. We recently picked up OVR coming back to the Danville office. In the 2 weeks that they've been there, the traffic's doubled. So we're experiencing more people coming in from there. Georgetown, the traffic has been about the same since OET left in February. It's about 30 a week, and that was a larger office, but I think it's just because, again, folks don't think that the services are still there. In Lexington, we went from about 367 a week to 2 weeks ago when they cut the unemployment insurance services off there to about 200. So that's about 150 less. And those are individuals that are unemployed, should be looking at either retraining or, you know, retooling their skills either through, you know, workshops, maybe resume assistance, anything like that. So if they're not going to come to us, we're going to have to go out to them. And we've been working with Jennifer and Tammy, and I've talked about some ways that we can go out and try and pick some folks up that way. Those numbers don't suffer just because the foot traffic is. But I think overall, if you look at, you know, what's happened with the traffic in those offices, that's exactly what's happened.
Okay.
And if I may add, Georgetown's got an extra layer of issues there because the OVR counselors that they located there were from the closed Richmond office. So they're not seeing foot traffic. They're still having to drive to Richmond to see their clients.
I mentioned that this morning as well. It's not the same problem that they're having in Danville that they're having in Georgetown. And that's what Tracy was talking about. We're talking about those folks that were served that were not coming in. You've got two folks in Georgetown that they have to go take their services to their clients. That person's never going to walk through the door.
Yes.
But if that person needed additional training, the OVR staff person would make sure that they were in contact with our counterparts or our staff to make sure that if they needed training, that they could actually access it.
And again, we can get referrals potentially from chambers, etc. We have materials, so Stacy's going to go through all that, make sure it's all updated, and then we want to reach out to the chambers to say, hey, we've got all these great services, all this stuff going on, you know the employers, you know people in your communities that need work. Let's connect them for that communication.
Oh, that's great.
So we're re-educating and looking at what we can do there. And then I'm part of the regional chamber group as the third president. So we also came up with another initiative of we want free memberships from all our chambers in Bluegrass Ad or ResCare so that they can offer these great services so we don't have to pay. Some of them are like $280 to join a year. Ours is only $100. So we came up with some real good ideas on how to, we think.
Oh, good. I mean, if I summarize it, we have a little bit of a gap, but it's, you know, it's just a small, and you're just getting started. You feel like you understand what the challenges are. It sounds like you're working against, or to go fulfill those. I mean, are there big things that you need or other things that you would ask of us? I mean, because we're going to hammer you on the performance targets, right? But we also, I mean, the strategic planning, getting you connected. I feel like we rescued you from North Carolina, so welcome to Lexington, right? But, you know, are there other things that you would want of us?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
I wouldn't be afraid to ask if I ever thought there was.
There you go. Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much. Next is Medicaid.
So, first of all, the Medicaid letter of concerns was sent. There has not been a response. And we've talked before about you cannot use WIOA dollars to pay for Medicaid activities. So the state did issue a notice of funding allocation to each of the 10 local areas for $20,000 to allow staff to participate in the development and planning process for the Medicaid. So we did get that. It is not an exact science. They have a flat rate. It concerns me some because of... it can be too much in some cases, too little in others. So I'm hoping that that passes audit and other sorts of things. But it is state issued and it's being done statewide. So I guess there's some comfort in that. Amy and I have been, I guess, the primary two, Amy in particular, of attending the meetings and trying to stay in touch. Amy, you want to give them a real quick rundown on the change agent and the system development?
Sure. Just real quick, I've been on meetings for the last few weeks, or a couple months, I guess, to help them develop their computer system. Representatives from each of the local areas, as well as state representatives, come to the meetings. They've created this computer system to help the individuals when they come into the care centers that are on Medicaid, or anybody that comes into that fact. And we give them feedback as to if we think it'll work, if it won't work, what they're doing, basically. We go twice a week. We have two different teams. They're called joint application design sessions. Their goal is to have this computer done December the 14th. We talked early this morning. I don't know that that's actually going to happen by that date, but they're trying, I guess. January 1 is supposed to be the release for this system. And then that's when the SNAP, the boot camp, individuals would start on the program. And then July 1 is when the Medicaid would go into the system. They tasked us with picking change agents. Me and Todd are going to be the change agents currently. A change agent is basically someone that works within the organization that helps facilitate and implement the changes. Such as this computer system, the Medicaid, the food stamp individuals that are coming to the care centers. So me and Todd, we do that. And maybe we have to have more change agents down the road, one for each care center, but we're going to start off with me and Todd and then see where it goes from there. This next week, Deloitte is the company that's overseeing all of this.
I was going to say, all this language sounds like Deloitte.
Yeah,
that was good. Exactly. I was just like, this sounds, yeah.
And so they are coming next week on the 17th of the afternoon to the Lexington Care Center, and they're going to do just a more of an observation to see the flow and how it all works, then talk to some staff and things to kind of get it rolling. And then we don't know the status as far as it being approved. All we know is that the federal government sent some questions to the state, and then the state responded at the end of September, but they haven't got a response yet as far as if it's...
the waiver. She's referring to the waiver itself. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would add to that is Amy gave you the timeline, and as far as the cabinet staff that are actually assigned to working on that, they're still saying that that is the timeline for implementation. There are other folks within the cabinet that are saying that that will not happen, that it is, while it's certainly... it's good to be optimistic, but they do not see them being able to actually implement at the times they've said, which is December 14th, and then again January, and finally July. And they do expect that that will be pushed out
I mean, I was just, do they have any idea of the, you know, if it's, this is the 20 hours per person?
Right.
They,
like,
we have ideas of what those are? That
we got an update at the last strategic planning meeting that they thought there were about 200,000 people in Kentucky that would be affected, and it's probably about 470,000, more than double what they thought. And it is 20 hours of volunteer, 20 hours school, or 20 hours work, which is, the alarm was, again, Nicholas County, our folks don't have transportation to get to, you know, a center.
If I was taking it back, do we have 900, whatever that is, 940,000 hours worth of
effort? We're trying to do, and we discussed there, and then followed up with Frankfurt Group, was who's going to know what volunteer hours are? And how are you going to track them, and how are you going to report them? And in our little community, we have a co-op program with our students, and we put them to work from noon to 3 every day. And we have to fill out a paper report, and we have to submit it. And they do things we really need. And now we've got people going, can I get help, can I get help, can I get help? So if we can coordinate with the chambers or the community actions in a city-by-city, you know, basis, we can help meet those needs. That's what we're trying to get ahead of now.
Okay.
And that's what the strategic planning is, kind of working with these different groups on.
So you sound more concerned about the time tracking, the validation, and the understanding of what counts as a volunteer hour than you are what companies would make this available or have the time.
No, my biggest concern is how do we get the control of this, with reporting, on a local level.
Okay.
Lexington is a completely different animal than our rural communities like my little county. We need the help and need the volunteer work. But am I going to have to go to Georgetown or Lexington to coordinate it? Or how can we get as little paperwork and as little reporting as possible, say, I've got 6 people that all want to do volunteer work. Okay, great. You know, the Dahl Hospital needs this. Our Rotary needs that. The city needs this. This manufacturer needs that. That we're getting actual things that need to be done versus, will you dig a hole over there, please? Okay, now take that dirt and fill it in over there. And you're just keeping people busy doing nothing. So how can we use, and what groups do we want to or can we interface with, which would be not only adult ed, which has been identified as one group, but we don't have a lot of people going to adult ed to say, hey, you know, how many people have a GED? They don't go to adult ed. We have a lot of people, though, going to community action. I need help. I need a bigger job. I need daycare. I can't pay my electric bill, whatever. Those are the people that want the jobs and are motivated. So how do we include them? And then our chambers are the ones that know that this member is looking for 2 people and that member is looking for 2 people, or somebody got let go, or now their child's back from college and needs a job. In other words, they're the people on the local level who know where the need is. How do we utilize them? How do we engage them? And how do we get them as part of this reporting? So we're getting a real nice matchup on a case-by-case, as in city-by-city basis, from I'm a city of 2,000 up to how big's Lexington. So there are 2 parallel solutions, I think, that we need to look at.
Okay.
Because our people, you know, have trouble even getting to jobs. I want to show up today, but my car won't work again. And my mom, who will drive me, is sick, and then she's taking care of the kid. I mean, it's all real stuff out there. There are a ton of people who want to work, but how do we connect?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's helpful.
Plus, the big concern that I hear from other nonprofit agencies is coincides with what she says about tracking the volunteers, but also who's going to drug screen those volunteers, who has time to supervise volunteers that really are only doing it because they are forced to do that, and they look at the volunteering as the easy way out, rather than going back and getting their GED or continuing ed or whatever else it may be. So there's a lot of issues out there that's floating around that have not been addressed yet. And I've heard that from multiple nonprofit agencies, especially smaller nonprofits that, you know, they're overworked now, and so to tell them that they're going to have to do all this reporting for a volunteer and this and that, it's, you know, it's just not feasible. Maybe LFUCG will take them on, or Bluegrass Ad.
We can make a motion. Okay. You can have, thank you.
So, but we are trying to get a bit ahead of it with having the strategic planning committee take a look at this and discuss some of these things and bring them to light, if we can then bring them back to the entire organization. Yeah. Then we can all start discussing it and sharing the information and seeing how we can get involved or who the best groups are to kind of help out.
Yeah, and we don't have directed WIOA budget to work on this.
No.
But we do oversee it. I'm just trying to make sure I understand, like, our role.
Well, I mean, that is a big concern across the state, just what you said. So far, they've talked about
things, right?
Mm-hmm. And they talk about a ton of activities and duties that require staff and money. We cannot use WIOA dollars for this. And so far, we've seen $20,000. So at some point, the money has to be allocated, or we will not be able to continue those services.
In the meantime,
Strategic
Planning Committee is a standing committee, and it's just one of the items we decided to take a look at, as well as long-term planning.
Sure.
So we can kind of cover a lot there under something that does exist and is legit, et cetera, as identifying a potential, you know, problem and opportunity for us. So that'll allow us to get a lot of things done while they're figuring out the budgeting and everything else.
Yeah, and on that same topic, I mean, in the next board meeting, are you okay doing like a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a readout or whatever it is, of what the strategic planning?
Yeah, well, we can put something together, don't you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just as an agenda item, let's make sure that we talk through, get people excited about it.
Another point.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That covers quick and easy.
Yeah.
As quick and easy as we can make it, then the board will be empowered to say, hey, I got this third grade PowerPoint here. Go through it, and this is how either you can help, you know, identify jobs or whatever.
What I'm looking for, and there's a little bit of what you presented earlier, Tammy, and as well, what I like to see there is, in talking to people about nominations or talking to people at the board, behind the scenes, there's, I think we need some motivation to feel good about what it is that we're doing, and you know, they feel like there's a lot of what we've done as a board has been more, you know, approving invoices and, you know, not, you know, it's hard to get up and get excited about approving invoices or administrivia, right? So, like, get people motivated that we are making a difference. I mean, so if I can, you know, steal a little bit of your slides, like, hey, we're doing good things. We're doing good things. We have a plan for even better things, that kind of thing. I'd love to get our board members a little bit more re-energized as we enter the Christmas season, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and again, as quick and as simple as we can do it, and we're talking about putting together, you know, a one page or something that we can give to chambers on, here's how we can help you, here's how you can help
us. Great.
If we've got something, you know, we've got a lot of material, so Stacy was going to go through and pull all that together. So now we've got, hey, board members, you know, you want to tell, but I don't remember the number on the book. Here's the sheet, you know, we can refer to. It's easy for us to share. And again, talk about the great things, but how now we can get more people involved, get more companies involved, and get more groups to refer us. You know, I've got a problem, not many employers, but the one I've got, my biggest, has not listed his jobs, has he? How many? And he keeps promising he will, but he didn't see it as a real, he doesn't get it yet. You know, and so he's advertising in the local paper, and so it'll help us to give something to our employers too, you know, without having to take an education course to explain it. Well, what about this? What about that? It's like, I don't know, here, call this person. So I think it'll be helpful on a lot of fronts.
Oh, great. Okay. Good, absolutely wonderful discussion. WIB recertification.
the biennial WIB recertification packet that the state has to do every 2 years was submitted on September 1st. And we do not have an update other than they are looking at it and will send us a letter of confirmation when it's complete.
Okay. The next four, we talked about this a little bit. These were Kim's topics. David, Tracy, I don't know if Kim has talked to either of you about any of these things. I don't know what they are to talk about.
No. I do not know enough about any of those to inform the board on those. I might claim the Fifth Amendment.
I don't either.
We're allowed to table items, huh?
I'm sorry?
We're allowed to table items if we don't know about.
Or skip them and see if they're still relevant the next time or whatever we want to do there. Yeah. That's like when you get too much email, you just like, okay, I'm just going to delete them all, and if it's important, they'll email me again. Okay. That kind of thing. Yeah, let's do that. And then the last one, I think, is the Southeastern, or the SETA update. SETA sounds like an alien sort of. Is it SETI that's the alien one?
I don't know.
Like the search for extraterrestrials.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So SETA. I was much more excited about SETI, but SETA, if you want to do an update.
The SETA conference took place in Louisville this year. We did have 6 staff attend and 3 board members. The 3 board members were John Doherty, Lisa Farmer, and David Boggs. So, David, from a board perspective, you want to... How was your experience? Do you have any update on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Matter of fact, it was a great conference, and we took our lead person for our out-of-school youth grant and paid for them from OWL funds. And this person said it was the best conference they'd been to in years. Sessions were very good, I thought. Didn't see as much variety in the sessions this year as I did last year at Biloxi, but the sessions that... that I attended were very good, especially the ones that the one that talked about the difference between WIOA and WIB. I think it was a very informative session, and especially when it outlined each one of the 13 areas that our boards are supposed to address. I really felt that was good, simple information. And you know, I heard multiple speakers talk about sometimes we try to make things too complicated. And if we'll just do the business of work and get through it, it makes going through the forest a lot easier. But I'm real glad I went. As a matter of fact, looking forward to maybe going to the next one if it works out where I can. It's really good session, I feel like.
SETA meets twice a year. Yeah. I believe the fall session is in Mobile, is
Mobile.
It? Mobile, Alabama.
Gulf Shores. Spring is in Memphis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It is Mobile now. Yeah. Not during hurricane season. But I was a little disappointed that more individuals from our board could not attend, because it would certainly be a great professional growth experience. You know, not only the sessions you attend, but the networking that you get to participate in, and, you know, getting to know people that we sit in meetings with all the time. But, you know, there's something to be said about the social aspect of it and the activities that comes along with socializing and all of that. And so,
now, is that something that is paid for, or did you pay your own way to go?
No, we sent out an invitation to all the board members, and so we paid the conference.
The board paid for mine, and then mine and John and Lisa went as the 3 board members. And then the one that we paid for out of Al, we felt like it was important enough for our person to go, and she really enjoyed it. So,
it'd be great, though, if we could add that to the agenda for the next full meeting.
Well, yes, I agree.
Everybody, it's great to hear. Mm-hmm. It'll make me think more about going next time, that you did get a lot out of it. Some conferences are good. Some are like, oh, I just wasted 3 days and I'm behind.
Yeah, we already know the dates, so we don't know the details, but we know the dates so people could plan it on their calendar. That's the way I planned for this You know, I didn't know I was going to get to go, but I went ahead early and blocked out the dates.
So, yeah, so let's add that as an agenda item. I agree with you. Down into other business, I think that what I'd like to do, and whether this is in the January meeting or preferably in the November meeting, is have a calendar just of everything. So we've talked about things like, you know, we get into the situation where the state issues our budget, and we've got to approve it with, like, in the... It's sort of a range of time that they give it to us, and it's usually at the end of that range that they give it to us. Or let's get the SETA conferences on there. Let's align on what our board frequency and meeting schedule and everything else.
Yeah. And I did have a question on that. Do you remember, David, when we used to have the full board every month?
Yes.
And we'd have a meeting that was like an hour, and we were done, and we just kept everything moving, and we worked really well with the ad staff, et cetera, which we've hired for the next 2 years, so we've got a real good working relationship. But having full board participation meant you were educated about what was going on, and you could go back to your community and spread that word.
Yeah.
If we do executive committee and then we only meet with a full board, again, I don't think we didn't do that before, and I don't know that other ads are. I would like to suggest that we go back to what we were doing.
Yeah, I'd really like to talk through that at the next board meeting. Good. I mean, I have lots of just ideas and questions about that. You know, I start looking at some of the other boards in the state, and you look at their frequency of, like, some of them are full board every 6 months, and then the opposite month is the executive board, because I do think that, you know, we want to do some things to prepare to make it, like, my goal would be an hour or less in every meeting, mm-hmm. but that not for the sake of speed, but, you know, it's quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. Let's just make it prepared. Let's make sure that the committees are enabled so that they can go solve problems that the full board doesn't need to care about, but then we can validate, you know, what we have to validate. I mean, but I want to figure out how we can, you know, we don't have people walk out of the room at 4 because we're only halfway through our agenda, which, you know, I don't blame anybody here. It's just that I think that, you know, I have a different style, right? So let's go through that. But I think as we look at that calendar and we try to figure out what that is, what makes sense, let's look at what the resource load would be just as we go all the way through it. Let's make the right decisions about what, you know, like I want to have a finance committee scheduled, you know, but it doesn't make sense for me to schedule it 2 weeks before you get your final budget, right? I mean, like, let's look at everything kind of in order and let's make sure that we're making the right cause there, because I completely agree. I think we can forecast better.
I mean, you know, I knew my daughter was getting married a year ahead. In other words, I know I may have a conference, et cetera. So in some of those, I'll go, oh, I know for sure I can't make this one. I could then let you know.
Yeah.
And if it turned out, you know, half the board was also all on spring break and leaving with children, then we'd know that we needed to look at a different date a lot sooner.
Well, yeah, and I pushed very hard. You know, I wanted to get a financial auditor on the board because there's, I would say, more urban myth than reality around financial transparency that we just have to feel really good about. But in doing so, that means the 15th of the month become very difficult for him, right? April 15th is a big day in tax world, right? So I just want to make sure that we've got things scheduled. Again, let's just forecast as much as possible, because one of the things I do in December when nobody's talking to me is I block my calendar for big events, vacation, everything for the year. So I'd love to give everybody else an opportunity if they are as OCD or as I am, you know, to go through and do that. So because we want attendance, right? I mean, I don't want to have to argue about quorum. I want 19 people here. It'll never happen, but I have like 19 people here.
It's good to have.
The bylaws say that you will meet quarterly and that the executive committee will meet as needed. It's not that automatic each time now.
Okay.
And one of those quarterly meetings each year is a joint meeting with the local elected officials.
Great. And again, I'm okay with quarterly as well. Let's figure it all out. But I just want to make sure that we're making the best use of everybody's time and we can see it. This year seemed like we had a lot of unknown unknowns that surprised us as we went through things. I mean, the Medicaid thing we couldn't have prepared for or other things. But, you know, we should look at that as part of the strategic planning as we think about that calendar. You know, is there a cadence of training that we want to go through? I thought the training was very beneficial. Do we want to think about that, you know, but not schedule at the same time as this SETA conference?
Mm-hmm.
or SETI conference.
Virginia got there in the middle of vacation.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Any other business? You're half of my audience, right? I guess, and you're the other half as we ask that question. Okay. Well, is there a motion made then that we adjourn?
I will make the motion that we adjourn.
Thank you, Tracy. Is that motion seconded? All in favor? Opposed? Awesome. Well, thank you all very much.